Good morning, church. Good morning. How many of you know what the second candle of Advent is for? We just lit it this morning, and then she did a reading. Do you remember what it was? It's the candle of faith. Bill did a great job last week talking about hope. This week, it's the second candle of Advent, faith. Faith in Advent is about what it means to have hope. Even when life seems to not be going the way that you want, or even when life seems to be getting darker, I know it's a lament of our times that life is getting worse and things are getting worse and it's always getting worse and all that. And so that leads into our verse this morning. This is from 2 Peter 3:18 through 15, and I'll be reading from the Message this morning. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, everyone to come to repentance. But just in case you think that it's just waiting and waiting and waiting, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and earth and everything done in will be laid bare. Laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, or cleansed in this way, the language is really revealed in this way. This is very interesting language. I think that we need to talk a little bit about that. Let me get through the verse and then I'll come back and I'll do the figurative language thing here. As you look forward to this, to the day of the Godspeed and its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heaven by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote, you with the wisdom that God gave you. Okay, so the language here, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, like it's sudden, and it will be like an unexpected, like you don't expect a thief, even though you might prepare and put in alarms and all those things. It's been my experience that sometimes alarms go off, even when there's not thieves. That's been our problem here. But in other places, they've had alarms, and if a thief comes and the thief is competent in any way, those alarms are kind of useless and not very much help. However, that's not what's going on here. It's that it's coming and the change, this language, let me tell you what it is that this is the language of Jesus's return as himself. So Jesus returns as himself. He doesn't return as somebody like Brad Pitt, but he returns as a lamb who was slain, and all that is very clear throughout the scripture. So what this can't mean also, I need to also put in here, pretty figurative language, but Romans 8, let me read Romans 8, 18 through about 23 for you. And just let you know that this is the same thing from a different perspective, and he actually references Paul. Yet what we suffer now is nothing. Remember, no matter whether the darkness seems to be getting worse and all that, what we suffer right now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is eagerly waiting for the future day when God will reveal who his children are. That's what this is right here, but the day of the Lord is that revealing as well. But all creation is waiting eagerly for that day when God will reveal who his children are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. And for we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit with us as a foretaste of this future glory. So like childbirth, there's all this pain, and then when it comes, how many of you have been near somebody or been in the room having a baby or been near somebody having a baby and just heard them say, I'm never going through this again. I don't ever want to go through this again. And as soon as the baby's born, that starts to fade. That's what's going on in this picture right here, that the first paragraph of this, but don't forget this one thing, dear friends, that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but willing everyone, but everyone to come to repentance. However, don't just take for granted that he's going to do this. Instead, when the day comes, there'll be some that'll going, but you didn't tell us. I mean, I've heard that, but that's not what's going on here. The biblical picture is really that when the Lord returns, it is such a big event. You can use this laid bare, the elements come through and change and everything, because the removal of sin, which all creation was subjected to against its will, that when God comes and removes sin from the land, remember Zechariah chapter 3, and God will remove the sin of the land in a single day, the Lord's day, that when this thing comes, the sea change, the paradigm shift, everything will be so big and so cataclysmic that you can use this language, like the destructions and everything has changed. There is no thing. But I also want to come back to you and remember that Jesus returns as himself, that there is continuity. It's not that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, but rather a renewed heaven and a new earth. This is God's palace temple, and he's not quite ready to get rid of it, where his righteousness, but his dwelling place must have all sin removed, and you and I have no idea what and how big that change is going to be. The scrutiny of judgment, the purity of God's coming, the transfiguration of Jesus up on the mount when Jesus or John and Peter are there, and he's talking to Moses and Elijah, and he's doing all this stuff. That's how big this thing is that suddenly Jesus is burnished bronze and all this just sin. There's continuity. It is clearly Jesus, but the sin of the land is removed and it flees. The biblical picture also is not just purification, but the sin flees in such a hurry to get away from God that it goes whoosh. And is it away from us that we do this? Our days, now back to the sermon. Now we've talked about this thing, but God isn't delaying. He's not trying to make it as difficult as possible. He's not putting you through the ringer, so to speak. I want to make sure that you know that that's not what's going on here. But when we sit here in our faith and hope, right, in the darkening days, I know that we have daylight savings and everything, and the daytime seems to be dark all the time and all that. But I've heard many people say that the world just keeps getting darker and darker and darker and more violent. I think that the biblical picture of what's going on is more like childbirth, and the kingdom of God is taking root, and the world that organizes itself against that is fighting against it, and because it knows that it's getting dire and dire, the fight seems deeper, but God's gonna win. And the faith candle of Advent is about the faith that God both puts into us, in front of us, the gospel of God is good news, but it's also news, right? It's not just good. We often talk about how good it is, but it's news. It's a message from God, and it's coming in, and it's not just laid before us, but he also opens us to it. And he's trying to do that with as many people as he can, but he knows who will and he knows who won't. And he's waiting for that last minute. He's not being slow and putting us through the ringer. I need to say that even though our days seem to be getting darker and getting worse and getting shorter, the change for us in this language is so big when we sort of groan, "How long, O Lord?" Remember that in 1 Peter, the language is always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. But faith isn't just about having that hope, but living out of that hope in faithfulness to God. The Lord's birth signaled just such a change for us. The world is completely different than before. It was the absence of the Lord's presence on earth and people able to make excuses, but now those excuses are removed and instead they feel judged internally. We've talked about that has come because his presence here. This second change that we wait in faith for, our hearts wait for, the present waits for and longs for, and that we groan for from Romans 8. All creation groans for the revealing. They both are that big a change, and the next change that we wait for in faith is going to be just as big as the presence of Jesus. We light that faith candle to say that not only do we have a hope, but we're going to live faithfully out of that. Both of these things, Jesus's birth and that we wait for in presence with them and the darkness, both mean salvation, not delayed, and available for all who will. So this morning, as we stand, as I stand in the back of a pickup and you sit in a car or you sit at home and you say, "How long, O Lord, how long will this go on?" And we start to think about how God is delayed and delayed and delayed, but in his mercy, he's waiting and he's being patient, not wanting any to perish. So what should we do in that moment when we say, "How long, O Lord?" How do we cling to your faith, to our faith? So the scripture does comes in. So then in verse 14, "Then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul talked about." This is how we sit in times like this. We make every effort to be found spotless and blameless. You know what that means? Since we're not spotless and blameless, it means we do the call to righteousness, and that call to righteousness in our lives means to give up living non-righteous ways, and we live in the direction we're supposed to be living, and we pay attention to the Lord, and we make every effort to be in peace and purity with him, and let God do the coming and purifying. We aren't waiting and going, "Well, you know, it's been so long, I don't really have to do anything about that." No, we are disciplining ourselves to read, disciplining ourselves to do the work of blessing others because we've been blessed. And we do our, when God tells us to do something, we do it. We do. That's blameless. So to be found spotless means we repent. To be blameless means we continue to do what God asks us to do. And to be at peace, to be at peace with him means that you accept what comes from him and you wait for him and you let him. Contentment and peace mean that we do our stuff and we let God do his things. And And when he does the coming and the purifying, remember that all of us are people that need a Savior. This is how we live as a remembrance of faith as we await the advent of our Savior and the second advent of our Savior. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, this morning as we come, even though it's cold outside, we know that you love us. Help us be what we need to be for you. Help us not sit there and sort of get lost in the how long, oh Lord, but let's get lost in finding ways to repent of our own stuff and change our habits and become the people that you want us to be, and then practice and live that righteousness that you've put in us. Move in us, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.